Hey everyone, Brian here. We have a great episode lined up for you today, but just a quick note. Due to the holidays, Rich and I will be taking a two-week break. This will be the last episode of the year, and we will not release for the next 2 weeks. The next new episode will be released on January 8th. We have some great guests lined up for you for early next year, and we're excited to get them all out to you. Again, thanks everyone for a wonderful year, and happy holidays to you and your families.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And thank you for tuning in for another fantastic episode we have lined up today. But before we begin, Rich, holiday season is in full swing now. Mm-hmm. So are you nonstop or are you slow and taking it easy?
Well, it really around Thanksgiving, it super picked up. I couldn't believe it. And it just, everything played out really well, but actually it got a little too busy. I'm still doing some, did Spartan Race at AT&T Park. That was great. Shooting thousands and thousands of people. And I'm getting ready to go down to Mexico for Christmas. We're buying a house in Baja and for windsurfing and kiteboarding and kind of retirement thing. But really exciting times and just really getting ready for a big 2019. Really excited.
And for having your podcast co-hosts over as well.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm inviting the whole community down. Yeah.
All right, good. We'll have a big real estate photography party down in Mexico.
You got it, man. Awesome.
We'll have the Shooting Spaces Retreat 2019.
Yeah, maybe I'll have a workshop down there. You never know.
Hey, whatever. Yeah.
And how are you doing? What's up with you?
Good. You know, everything's slow this time of year, especially in New York, because New York is a big holiday town, if you want to call it that.
You had a cold Thanksgiving. Oh boy.
Yeah, we were in the 20s. But you know, you move on and you know, things will start to pick up another week or two. I don't want to say pick up, but
yeah,
start shooting a little bit again. And I have a couple of architectural things in the works. So it's all good. And you know, I'm flying down to Atlanta this week for an architectural shoot down there for a nursing home. So things are busy.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
But we have a great episode today, a fantastic guest, somebody that you know that you thought it was a good idea to bring on based off one of our Ask the Guys questions. So I'll let you explain that and introduce our guest at the same time.
Well, yeah, I want to say that I met our guest at one of my workshops with Mark Weisberg down in Southern California last year. And this guest came down to learn the finer arts of real estate photography. And it was the Mastering Real Estate Photography Intensive Workshop with Mark. And he came down and we got to talking and we had a lot in common because like me, he not only shoots real estate, but he shoots, I'm actually on his website right now, dogs and people and headshots and sports and team and individual photography, seniors. But I'm just going to introduce him. His name is Radley Mueller, and Radley is from Washington. So, hey, Radley, how are you? Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Rich. Appreciate it. Radley Mueller of Radley Mueller Photography. I'm out of Bellingham, Washington, which is about 90 miles north of Seattle, maybe 20 miles from Canada. Small little town of about 86,000 people up here. In local Bellingham, but Whatcom County, it's 280,000. So it's still small town feeling, but big enough for me to relax and enjoy and get away when we need to.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing photography for about 31 years now.
Newcomer, huh?
Yeah, newcomer. The knees and the hands are paying for it. They remind me every day just how long I've been doing this.
Oh, boy. And tell us what type of, besides real estate, what else do you shoot in?
I have a full-time studio with two other photographers, and we're actually expanding in 2,000 more square feet. We move in 2 weeks from now, and we do real estate and architecture work, drone photography, executive portraits. We offer a photo booth experience, not just a little box camera, but we actually get out there and interact with people, senior portraits, family portraits, a lot of sports pictures. In fact, we have 196 teams to shoot next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Wow. Fantastic.
We do a lot of weddings.
So you're not so busy.
Not Not so busy. Not today.
Okay. Okay. Don't keep telling us because we don't have, it's only a 30 minute podcast. Okay.
Today off.
So you're getting more into real estate photography. Tell us about that and what percentage and how's that going?
It's been an uphill battle the entire way because I keep learning and keep refining and keep learning and want to make myself better. And it's been an evolution and it's still learning. So it's great. We do right now about 50% of my business. We do about 15 to 20 homes a week that myself and my other photographer shoot on top of everything else.
Wow.
It's consistent. We're booked about 2 weeks out right now with all of our homes throughout the rest of it.
What's mind numbing to me is, you know, anybody that just does real estate photography full time would be very content doing 15 to 20 homes a week. And you do 15 to 20 homes a week and still have the time or feel the need to go out and shoot everything else, weddings, you know, headshots, everything else. So I commend you for that.
Well, the real estate market tends to bring in a lot of other business. Like one of our real estate firms we shoot exclusively for, we just shot their client appreciation party last night. We did a photo booth experience for them and they introduced us to all, we do their headshots for them and their friends. And it's just a spiraling snowball for us and it's great.
And you still love, I know you still love photography. You're a photographer.
Yeah. I fell back in love with photography last year. I was a little burned out for a while, but I fell back in love with photography last year when I was in Hawaii and I did nothing but my iPhone pictures. Sounds crazy. I took a camera, but I got a waterproof case for my camera and was just playing in the water. And I just fell back in love with it again. So,
I was going to say you didn't fall back in love after spending 2 days with Rich in a workshop.
different kind of. I actually at the workshop, they changed my life down there. I invested in myself to go down to that workshop because I knew I wanted to be better. It actually changed my life and my bank account. It cost me a lot of money with all the gear afterwards. And now we're going on our third complete setup of that for the other photographer based on that workshop alone and how it's changed the market up here for us.
Mm-hmm. So are you, let's get, if we can, the reason I brought you on is because Nima Mohammadi, it was Mohammadi, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And Nima wrote us and asked the guys, and by the way, everybody out there, ask the guys, you can record a question and then we will, you know, try to answer ourselves. And if we need to, we'll bring someone on, a professional like Radley Mueller, and then have him come and answer the question. So that's what it's all about. So Nima was just doing all kinds of posts and investigation on how do you go about bringing on another photographer. And it's just so exciting because I was coaching him at the very beginning of his real estate career. And it's just so rewarding to see that. But I'd just like to know if you can talk a little bit about, are you, for real estate specifically, are you purchasing the equipment for these photographers? Are you, is this a full-time thing? The little things that you can tell people that might be interested in expanding and what they might look forward to or what they might want to avoid?
Well, hiring other photographers is a tricky thing because photographers come with all kinds of bad habits and baggage. We do. So I usually don't hire photographers. I hire people and I train them to be a photographer in how I want them to perform and what images I want them to produce through my eyes. So, but photographers ourselves come with bad habits. So probably the best hire I've ever made. She had zero photography experience, just the desire to want to do that. And she was in the real estate industry beforehand. And she is out shooting me in a lot of the homes that we work with, a lot of brokers we work with.
Well, I definitely agree with you there because I think I even said something very similar, Rich, when we had the podcast with Nima's question, that I think it's a good idea to hire someone that doesn't do exactly what you do. So then you can train them in mm-hmm. your methods. So I definitely commend you for that. But let me ask you, speaking of, you know, hiring these people, when you do hire these people and they're working full time for you, are these photographers on salary or are you paying them by job? What are the best practices for that?
I've tried salary. I've tried per job. Best thing I've found is hourly because they're not just doing real estate with me. They're doing everything else. Everything from editing in-house work to shooting other jobs to mundane office work, cleaning the studio. They're employees of ours, their family, We treat them like family, but they're just hourly is what it is. Because when they work hard, we pay them for it. Sometimes it's not just 40 hours. Sometimes it's been 60, 70 hours a week.
No, it's it absolutely, especially because like you, I'm not in any way, shape, or form in the same kind of a business category with you. But me as myself, I am also shooting for people, so I would be like one of your employees. But I tell you, it can be a lot of hours, a lot of work, and you know, if you can get somebody and train them and really get them to work the way you work, it's a wonderful thing. And but I'm sure it has a lot of, it can be very trying at times too.
It is trying, but it's worth it in the end. The more time I invest in them, the better work ethic they have and the better quality they produce.
Mm-hmm.
He is a photographer that I hired from the university that we work for. We also have a contract with Western Washington University for all their sports and athletic photography and their graduations for commencement. On top of this, but we hired him from the school and he's a photographer. And like I said, it's like going to boot camp. We got to break him of all his bad habits to start over again. And he's a Nikon shooter on top of that. We're all Canon. So I have to forgive
damn
him.
Nikon shooters.
Right. I got to train him in Canon because we're buying him Canon gear to shoot all of our rigs, all of our homes with. So he has to learn. He has to learn two setups.
You know, the hardest part about Canon is the I always zoom the wrong way. I can't tell you how many times.
I totally get over it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, Radley, you're talking about investing time, obviously, in training these employees. What's the typical time frame from when you decide to hire someone for the training process until you feel confident to go send them out on a job on their own and know that what you're going to get back is going to represent you and you're comfortable with that and you're happy to slap your name on that?
I'm thinking it's about 2 months before I kick them out of the nest.
Mm. Okay. And they're just, you know, shadowing you on shoots. Is that?
They're shadowing me on shoots. One of my realtors actually, that's in a development. We borrow homes from her and we'll take people in there and we will, like the last home, last photographer, she didn't leave that home until she had it down. We brought our laptops in, we brought cameras in, we brought the cam rangers, extra batteries, and we just went room to room, in and out, all types of lighting, all types of situations, angles, heights, tilt shift, non-tilt shift in case, how to shoot, when the technology fails you, how to go back to the old school and do it the regular way. We had to know all those things before we left that house. And then she started shooting on her own for people that understood that she was new. And now she's got one of my top realtor. He is an exclusive shooter for her. And we also, and she got another contractor builder yesterday for exclusive photography for the next year for all of his homes he's putting in based on her photography alone. So it feels good. It's sad, but it feels good.
That's
sad
great.
Meaning that she's out shooting me on these homes and getting her own builders. But nice feeling that I've taught her and trained mm-hmm. her and groomed her. Do this, but it also comes with a non-compete. All my employees have non-competes right off the bat.
So that's what I was going to ask you about the next question. When you just told me that, you know, she's booking her own builders, I guess that's the best way to handle that. But is that something you fear that, you know, one day they're going to say, you know what, I want to go out and do this on my own, and then, you know, you essentially train someone who might be your competitor down the line one day. And it might not be in a year, it might be in 5 years or 10 years, but they're, you know, they're there.
Well, once, if they ever decide to leave me, they can't do photography within 50 miles of my studio for 2 years.
Uh-huh. Right. So there you go.
And it's a non-compete that's never been beat.
And well, it's been
tried and my lawyers beat up their lawyers. I've raised and trained. There's 12 photographers in this town alone that are competing against me that I trained from scratch. So I started doing non-competes, but they're told that right up front in the interview. If you won't sign a non-compete, we can't continue this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to sign that. And if not, conversation's done. If they are, let's move forward because I've already decided I want you.
Yeah, I have a few photographers that I know and have helped throughout the years, and they have come into that situation too. And it's a very, it can be very awkward. So yeah, anybody out there that is thinking about working for a company, and you just gotta, you know, you gotta really think about that in the long run, because it not only, you know, if people think, oh, a non-compete's not fair, whatever, it's not fair for you too, Radley, because you're putting in a lot of time and effort and money and commitment into having people work with you. So
yeah, you know. And having trained all these people around me in the same town that used to work for my old studio, if they had a non-compete, granted, they could, 2 years down the road, they could still do that, which one of them did. She left me 2.5 years ago, and now she's competing against me and what I trained her on. So that's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
There's enough work out there for all of us, and I'm working 6 to 7 to 8 days a week right now.
Mm-hmm. 8 days a week. Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
It sounds like a song title.
Yeah. Right?
That's great. I totally understand. And, you know, part of it for me is I've always had the kind of the fork in the road. And it even started back in the movie industry for me when I was a prop master. Do I get bigger and bigger and go in that direction and acquire more gear? Or do I go smaller and smaller? And I've always chosen to go smaller and smaller, and it's always worked for me. But part of me has always kind of wondered what it would be like to, you know, have a crew working for me. It's not for me, but it seemed to be doing really well for you.
Well, the crew thing, this is a small crew. My old studio here in the town, I had 12 photographers plus support staff shooting for the studio full time. Hmm. So that was our big crew in 2007. We topped out. That was the year that I photographed 200 weddings myself that year, plus everything else. I literally shot a wedding every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the year.
Wow.
All around the world. I flew all around the world for weddings.
Now, I got a question for that, because I was in Hawaii and I shoot weddings, and I used to do maybe 35 a year, and that was like my total max. And I could never do that again. And
yeah, that's a good month for me.
I know. Okay. But I was in Hawaii and I'm watching this Japanese wedding photographer, and he had all these assistants, like a wardrobe guy and wardrobe girl and a prop girl and someone for hair and stuff. And I asked him, and I said, in his broken English, well, I said, you know, how many weddings do you do a year? And he goes, I do 200 a year. And I'm like, wow. And he told me, though, he's doing 4-hour weddings, and he's always got like 3 or 4 assistants working with him, and he does, you know, none of his own editing. How many people did you have working with you to, how in the world could you do 200 weddings? You didn't do them by yourself, did you?
I have a second shooter on every wedding that I'm at.
Yeah, but that's still not enough.
Well, that's how we roll. We have a primary, wow, and a secondary, and on some of the weddings they've hired a third wedding, like one of the weddings we did in Mexico. They wanted 3 photographers, and they flew us down there.
Wow.
One we did in the Caymans, it was 4 photographers, and they flew us all over there.
Okay. Well, listen, just so you know, in my town where I'm moving in Mexico, you are not allowed to come because I have a no-compete clause against every other photographer in the whole country.
There goes the Shooting Spaces retreat, I guess.
Right?
Well, as long as you can come and party with me, but you can't
shoot. That's a different story, exactly.
Yeah. Brian, have you ever had employees work for you in a formal sense of the
yeah, not in the real estate photography mm-hmm. sense of what I'm doing here, but when I did, you know, years ago, I've mentioned I had a video production business. I still do commercial video production and still manage that business, but I used to have a wedding video production business, which is what segued into this commercial business. And I think it was probably 2011 or 12, we did about 85 or 90 weddings that year, all video. And I had about 6 or 7 different shooters working for me. No one full time. Everyone was obviously freelancer, because with a wedding, you know, like, you know, Radley just said, they're mostly weekends. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of managing and scheduling. And, you know, I was doing 95, and it was just me and a business partner. So it was a lot of organization, a lot of, you know, we did all the editing we outsourced also. So it's more organization than anything else. So, I mean, Radley, you can tell us better than anyone. I mean, it's just, you need someone there just keeping everything in its place.
Well, my second shooter for each wedding, I had 2 second shooters that worked with me on my weddings exclusively. And I would edit the bride and grooms for every wedding. And the second shooter for the wedding would edit everything else and had to have it done before the next week's wedding started for them.
You had a 1 week turnaround?
1 week turnaround.
Oh, God.
Well, I feel if you're doing that much volume, you kind of have to do that, or you're just going to get yourself into trouble.
You'll get buried so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but we do a two-week turnaround, and that's enough for us. So.
Yeah, and now, right now, I still edit my brides and grooms, but then I have an editor that edits everything else for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've learned to work smarter, not harder.
Now, what are you doing for real estate photography? Are you outsourcing? Where are you doing now, and where do you think you're going to be going?
Some outsources, some in-house. The secret sauce. Depends on who's listening to this podcast. If my competition's listening to it, I do it all myself late at night. But everything is delivered by 9 a.m. next morning.
Oh, and by the way, I have the copyright on the word secret sauce, so you can't use that without paying me, okay?
Right. Your check's in the mail.
Oh, yeah. Great, great. So are you finding, though, are you having, you know what, let's go into one question that Nima asked. I want to remind myself to make sure we bring that up. Nima, Brian, what did Nima say? He wanted to know about...
Yeah, Nima asked a question. Basically, he's at the point now where he's looking to scale up. It's been himself now. I think he was saying he started with 75 and he's going to hit almost 900 homes this year in 2018. So he's at the point where he needs to scale up. And he wanted to know what's the best advice for his first hire? Is he better off going with another photographer or hiring somebody in-house in his studio to kind of just manage everything and organize and take care of all the business side of things to help him scale up? If you have any suggestions on scaling up and where the first place to look for is.
Well, scaling up, I would do both. I would have an in-house person to take care of all the back-end work and then hire somebody else out and train them the way you want them trained. Because like I said, bringing a photographer in, they're going to want their own spin on how they want this done. And if he started shooting 900 houses, he knows his system, he knows his routine, and he's got it down pat. And he can probably train them a matter of probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks, if he's just doing homes, shadowing them. He's going to shadow them on their shoots, and he can get them pretty dialed in a couple weeks, start sending them on their way. And then he could even, if they're, depends on the quality they're putting out, or if they're bringing their own clients in, give them a percentage of each of those shoots that they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's value to that because, you know, even if you hire a photographer first as your first employee, let's say, then that just gives you that much more office work to do on your own. So I guess they, like you said, they kind of go hand in hand where, you know, if you're going to hire another photographer, you're still not going to be able to single-handedly handle all the admin stuff you have to do.
What I've figured out is I hire people that are better than me to make me look good. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because that's one of the first lessons I ever learned when I got into the photography video industry. Someone told me this probably 10 years ago, and they said the best thing you can ever do for your business is hire people that are smarter than you.
Yep.
And it's worked, especially when I had my video production business. We would always hire people that were better at what we were needed to be done than we were. And that's how we were able to make our stuff look better than we were capable of doing. And, you know, we just learned from it too. So not only were we getting an employee by paying someone to do this that was better than us, but, you know, we learned and took everything in from every hire that was better than us.
And we all learn from each other because we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And if they're better at me at something, I'm continually learning from them and I'm sharing knowledge with them that they don't know yet. So it's a give and take for everybody, which is everybody grows stronger and work. They're more cohesive that way.
Mm-hmm. And Radley, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Let's say you and in your business, at least.
Not at work every day. Mm-hmm. I want to have a team that's doing this and I can work certain days a week, take a couple weeks off. Because right now, I take usually most of July off and most of February off. And people think that's crazy as a wedding photographer, take the busiest month of the year off. And that's exactly why I'm taking it off, because I can and I don't want to work in July. And I take February off, we do family vacations. Mm-hmm. We just go.
Mm-hmm.
that we having a team that's stronger than us, stronger that can hold their own, it's just smarter. So we all regenerate and come back feeling fresh, and it's good. So in 5 years, I'll probably still be doing what I'm doing, but not at the level that I'm doing it at, or the consistent level of volume for myself, but my team and my studio will be.
Great, great. Really good information. Brian, are you going to be hiring anybody in the near future? Are you getting any plans for ramping up now that you got your new house and you've got your young family? What's your plans?
Yeah, well, I need to. I got to pay my mortgage, but and it's not cheap in New York, I can tell you that. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going to go with my photography yet. I definitely want to do a big push for video for 2019. That's one of my goals. I found that there's not really many people out here on Long Island where I am that are offering really good quality video. So I want to make a push for that. And my goal with that is to turn it into, I don't want to call it a machine, but a system where I'm almost outsourcing everything. I'm having the shooters go out and shoot for me, and I'll train the shooters as you know, you said, Radley, that's important, but train everybody and just, you know, all the video jobs I book, just send people out to shoot and outsource my edit. And this way I can still continue to shoot and do all the work that I'm doing that I enjoy doing. And hopefully bring a nice percentage of income in from the video side of things by hiring other people out to do it. Mm-hmm. That's my goal.
Great.
So hopefully if everything works out, you know, according to how it looks in my head, I'll hopefully have some people shooting some video for me next year.
Yeah, people ask me about video all the time, and I said, that's a whole different animal, and I don't really have the time, energy, or age to learn video. So I'm going to hire somebody that wants to do that for me.
Sure. I mean, I'm in a weird circumstance where, you know, I shoot photography, but I also, for years and still to this date, own a video production company. So, you know, I do dabble in both. So I feel pretty confident going out and training someone, and I have all the equipment to shoot a real estate video. You know, I have sliders, I have gimbals, I have, I have a Canon C100, which is strictly a video camera. I have the Mark IV, which I can shoot 4K video on. So I have plenty of gear. I have all the audio gear, so I can go ahead and do it. But I know that if I tackle it all myself, I'm really going to lose sight of my photography, and that's what I enjoy doing more. So I think if I start from the beginning by outsourcing the shooting and editing, I can hopefully develop that side of my business into a system where I'm confident sending people out there.
Mm. That's great. Good. And what are your, Radley, what is your, I don't know if you want to say your New Year's resolution, but what is the thing just in front of you, the beginning of the year? What do you think you're going to be doing besides February? You're all off the whole month, so you won't
pretty
do
much.
February. But
pretty much, we're taking February off. We're going to hit the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But January, we're rebranding and redoing all of our pricing for January 1. And first time in 3 years we've done any changes. And we're hitting up the executive portraits right now. Everybody's rebranding for the new year, so we're having a big push now for everybody to renew for the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Januarys are usually a lot of executive shots. Our studio stays really busy with that.
Mm-hmm. And are you doing a lot of, you're working straight through Christmas and New Year's?
I've got 17 more events between now and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My next day off is December 21st.
And you're working Christmas Day, right?
I actually had a request for shooting a family on Christmas Eve, and I tripled my prices, and they're thinking about it.
My wife always got to worry about that when you just, you know, those times you've got a bid and you're like, there ain't no way I want to do it. I'll just give them this crazy, crazy, crazy quote, and they take you up on it, and you go, oh my gosh.
My wife said they better not take me up on that. I said, you can have all the money from that shoot. I have to go shoot on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that present. Like, you better not get that job. Happy wife, happy life. Angry wife, hide the knife.
Yeah, my wife even was giving me, my son came home from college today for Thanksgiving, and And what do you mean you've got a podcast tonight? Anyway, so I'm in a doghouse, but that's okay. Anything for you guys, anything for them.
The kids are home for the holidays and the grandkids are here. So, really? You're working today? Well, a little bit. All right.
Well, let me, before we go, I want to ask you, though, we haven't really talked much about the technical, because I know that there are other photographers, I just can't pinpoint them, but other photographers in the groups that have several people working for them and they have kits. And I just wanted to know, for your real estate kit, for your kids, what are you running? What do you send them out with?
They shoot with a 6D, Canon 6D, a 17 millimeter tilt shift. And either a multiplier, 1.4, turns it into basically a 24, or they have a 24 in their kit, Cam Ranger, their own iPad. They use the 8200. Love that. Love when you guys introduced me to that flash. And we've got four of those now in house. And the tripod, their think tank kits, and they're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in my kit, I've got a drone, and my other photographers, once they get drone licensed, they'll have their own drone in their own kit.
Mm-hmm. What kind of drone you flying?
Mavic 2.
Mm-hmm. Did you get the? Which one did you get?
I had to get the Mavic 2 because I had a seagull take down my drone from about 200 feet up. Packed it. seagull flopped around and flew away, but the drone crashed. So I got the Mavic 2, and it was 2 weeks prior to the Mavic 2 Pro coming out. So Mavic 2 Pro is my first purchase in January.
Very nice. I actually purchased mine yesterday. So I'm looking forward to getting it. It's supposed to come in on Friday.
I had to pull the trigger on the Mavic 2 or the Mavic Pro. I had 3 drone shoots in 2 days, same day, that would pay for the drone that just crashed. So it's like I had to overnight one in, get it up and running and pay for it. So
I think every successful drone pilot has had to do that exact same scenario.
Yeah, this
Brian, how many have you crashed? How many have you had taken out of commission?
One. That's it to date. I mean, I'm only a drone pilot. March is going to be 2 years. So not that long, but I had one major crash that cost my insurance company about $900 in repairs.
Mm. Yeah, my insurance company said the next drone you claim will be your last one to claim. You better make it good.
Really?
Yeah. There's been 3 claims in 3 years.
I guess.
But yeah. I'm grandfathered in where it's $56 a year for my drone insurance.
Wow.
You're going to get canceled and you're going to get jacked up to the higher prices. So make it good.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Radley. I really think you've given our listeners something to think about. And maybe just take us out with a word of advice for someone that is just been thinking about it. What do you say to them? Now, just thinking about, bringing on one person or starting in that direction.
Hire the right person, not the right photographer, but hire the right person for your business that matches your business, and then diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket shooting just one thing, because things are going to slow down and they're going to have something else to do. So teach them headshots. Teach them location portraits with executives, go to these real estate companies and diversify. Make yourself you're where they have to have you. They need you for everything. So hire smart, hire the right person, not the right photographer.
All right. And Radley, do you want to just give a plug to your website or any of your social accounts, your handles, where people can find you and see some of your work? I know we definitely forgot to do that earlier in the interview.
I've got my Radley Muller Photography on Facebook. Got RadleyMullerPhotography.com, Instagram. It's Radley Muller Photography, RM Photography. I'm not a huge social media person. My assistant is taking care of all that because she's smarter at it than me. And I have this big plan of this list of stuff I want to do that I need to do, and I don't do it. She does it because she's on top of things like that.
Hey, hiring smart, like you just
said. Hiring smart to make us look better. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, Radley. Well, we want to thank you for coming on. This was definitely enlightening for sure for Nima, but also for anybody else that's in that position now that they want to look to potentially you know, make their first hire or even their second or third hire, and then just continue to help scale and grow their business. Yeah. So
if he's looking to expand, if he's looking to expand in the real estate market for a real estate shooter, look in the real estate market. There's marketing people in those offices. They know the business. They know these brokers. They know these realtors, and they'll bring them to you. They'll bring them to your door. That's
interesting.
That's where I find my people is in the industries I want to work in. I hire a person out of that industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great idea and something I never would have thought to look into.
She knows all the she knows all the stuff for the MLS requirements and what these realtors and brokers need. She's got all the connections. She knows these people.
Yeah, exactly. They come in with the connections already, which is huge.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's been a huge asset.
Some good information, Radley. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I want to just thank Brian for allowing me to have my friend on.
Sure. And we want to thank your wife for allowing you to come on right when your son's coming home for the holidays.
Right? Yep. And I just want to say, everybody out there in podcast land, be sure to subscribe to Shooting Spaces. Join our mailing list. We got some exciting things coming up. You know, go out there and be sure to do ask the guys. Just go on to shootingspacespodcast.com and record your 90-second question, and we'll find somebody. We'll find somebody from wherever that can be a professional to answer your question, because that's what we do. Right, Brian?
That is exactly what we do. Mm-hmm. And to quote the one and only Rich Baum, go out there and shoot some spaces.
Go shoot some wonderful spaces. Talk to you and see you later on the next podcast.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.